What's the hottest news story this century?
You're listening to The Cyber Show with your hosts, Helen Blues, Andy Farnell, and Ed Navard. On today's feature-length episode, we will be looking at who watches The Watcher. Although that does sound like a fantastic Terry Pratchett novel, it is far more menacing in its nature. This is a number of stories that have broken in the last couple of months from some of the biggest tech giants, with some huge settlements out of court for privacy violations on its own users. These companies are big, huge names such as Tesla and Amazon. We're going to begin by looking at Tesla. So I'm going to hand it over to you, Ed, who's been looking into Tesla for us this week. So Ed, tell us, who is watching us at Tesla?
According to a special report on Reuters, Tesla workers shared sensitive images recorded by customer cars. Now, Tesla Inc. assures its millions of electric car owners that their privacy, quote, is and will always be enormously important to us. The cameras it builds into vehicles to assist driving, it notes on its website, are, quote, designed from the ground up to protect your privacy. But between 2019 and 2022, groups of Tesla employees privately shared, via an internal messaging system, sometimes highly evasive videos and images recorded by customers' car cameras, according to interviews by Reuters with 9 former employees. Some of the recordings caught Tesla customers in embarrassing situations. One ex-employee described a video of a man approaching a vehicle completely naked. Also shared crashes and road rage incidents. One crash video in 2021 showed Tesla driving at high speed in a residential area and unfortunately hitting a child on a bike, according to another ex-employee. The child flew in one direction and the bike in another. The video spread around the Tesla office in California via private one-on-one chats like wildfire, an ex-employee said. Other images were more mundane, such as pictures of dogs and funny road signs that employees made into memes by embellishing them with amusing captions or commentary before posting them in private group chats. While some postings were only shared between 2 employees, others could be seen by scores of them, according to several ex-employees. Tesla states in its online customer privacy notice that its, quote, camera recordings remain anonymous and are not linked to you or your vehicle, end quote. But 7 former employees told Reuters the computer program they used at work could show the location of the recordings, which potentially could reveal where a Tesla owner lived. One ex-employee also said that some recordings appear to have been made when cars were parked and turned off. Several years ago, Tesla would receive video recordings from its vehicles even when they were off, if owners gave consent. It has since stopped doing so. Quote, we could see inside people's garages and their private properties, said another former employee. Let's say that a Tesla customer had something in their garage that was distinctive. You know, people would post those kinds of things, end quote. Tesla didn't respond to detailed questions sent to the company for this report. About 3 years ago, some employees stumbled upon and shared a video of a unique submersible vehicle parked inside a garage, according to 2 people who viewed it. Nicknamed Wet Nelly, the White Lotus Esprit Sub had been featured in the 1977 James Bond film The Spy Who Loved Me. The vehicle's owner? Tesla chief executive Elon Musk, who had bought it for about $968,000 at auction in 2013. It is not clear whether Musk was aware of the video or that it had been shared. However, he did not respond to a request for comment. Now, Reuters commented that in order to report this story, they contacted more than 300 former Tesla employees who had worked for the company over the last 9 years and were involved in developing its self-driving system. More than a dozen agreed to answer its questions, all speaking on condition of anonymity. Reuters wasn't able to obtain any of the shared videos or images, which ex-employees said they hadn't kept. The news agency also wasn't able to determine if the practice of sharing recordings, which occurred within some parts of Tesla as recently as last year, continues today, or how widespread it was. Some former employees contacted said the only sharing they observed was for legitimate work purposes, such as seeking assistance from colleagues or supervisors. The sharing of sensitive videos illustrates one of the less noted features of artificial intelligence systems. They often require armies of human beings to help train machines to learn automated tasks, such as driving. Since about 2019, Tesla has employed hundreds of people in Africa and later the United States to label images to help its cars learn how to recognize pedestrians, street signs, construction vehicles, garage doors, and other objects encountered on the road or at customers' houses. To accomplish that, data labelers were given access to thousands of videos or images recorded by car cameras that they would view and identify objects. Two ex-employees said they weren't bothered by the sharing of images, saying that customers had given their consent, or that people long ago had given up any reasonable expectation of keeping personal data private. Three others, however, said they were troubled by it. Quote, "It was a breach of privacy, to be honest, and I always joked that I would never buy a Tesla after seeing how they treated some of these people," end quote, said one former employee. Another said, "I'm bothered by it because the people who buy the car, I don't think they know what their privacy is, like, not respected. We could see them doing laundry and really intimate things. We could see their kids," end quote. One former employee saw nothing wrong with sharing images, but described a function that allowed data labelers to view the location of recordings on Google Maps as a massive invasion of privacy. David Chofner, executive director of the Cybersecurity and Privacy Institute at Northeastern University in Boston, called sharing of sensitive videos and images by Tesla employees, quote, "morally reprehensible." "Any normal human being would be appalled by this," he said. He noted that circulating sensitive and personal content should be construed as a violation of Tesla's own privacy policy, potentially resulting in an intervention by the US Federal Trade Commission, which enforces federal laws relating to customers' privacy. A spokesperson for the FTC said it doesn't comment on individual companies or their conduct. To develop self-driving car technology, Tesla collects a vast trove of data from its global fleet of several million vehicles. The company requires car owners to grant permission on the car's touchscreens before Tesla collects vehicles' data. "Your data belongs to you," states Tesla's website. In its customer privacy notice, Tesla explains that if a customer agrees to share data, quote, "your vehicle may collect the data and make it available to Tesla for analysis. This analysis helps Tesla improve its products, features, and diagnose problems quicker." It also states that the data may include short video clips or images, but isn't linked to a customer's account or vehicle identification number, and does not identify you personally. Now, Carlo Pilz, who's a data privacy lawyer in Germany, told Reuters it would be difficult to find a legal justification under Europe's data protection and privacy law for vehicle recordings to be circulated internally when it has, quote, "nothing to do with the provision of a safe or secure car or the functionality," end quote, of Tesla's self-driving system. In recent years, Tesla's car camera system has drawn controversy. In China, some government compounds and residential neighbourhoods have banned Teslas because of concerns about its cameras. In response, Musk said in a virtual talk at a Chinese forum in 2021, quote, "If Tesla used cars to spy in China or anywhere, we will get shut down." Elsewhere, regulators have scrutinised the Tesla system over potential privacy violations. But the privacy cases have tended to focus not on the rights of Tesla owners, but of passers-by, unaware that they might be being recorded by parked Tesla vehicles. In February, the Dutch Data Protection Authority, or DPA, said it had concluded an investigation of Tesla over possible privacy violations regarding Sentry Mode, a feature designed to record any suspicious activity when a car is parked and alert the owner. People who walked by these vehicles were filmed without knowing it, and the owners of the Teslas could go back and look at these images, said DPA board member Katja Mir in a statement. Quote, "If a person parked one of these vehicles in front of someone's window, they could spy inside and see everything the other person was doing. This is a serious violation of privacy. End quote. The watchdog determined that it wasn't Tesla, but the vehicle's owners who were legally responsible for their car's recordings. It said it decided not to fine the company after Tesla said it had made several changes to Sentry Mode, including having a vehicle's headlights pulse to inform passers-by that they may be being recorded.
You're listening to The Cyber Show. Andy?
Well, I hear a lot of the usual corporate taciturnity here. You know, declining to comment to this and declining to comment to that. And I think that the Dutch DPA that Ed mentions have kind of dropped the ball there too. Clearly, I think the thing is that Tesla are failing to face up to the responsibility of the implications and the effects of their products in society. The buck's being rapidly passed backwards and forwards between different people here, isn't it? And this is always the same story around technology. Oh, it's just a tool. It's up to the end users what they do with it. We don't tell them what to do with it. Well, hold on, I don't think that's true. Every design has implicit usage patterns in it and risks associated with it. Things that the manufacturer should recognise as reasonable and indeed very likely hazards. And there is such a thing as an attractive nuisance, you know, something that entices or causes other people to create dangers. And I think it's up to manufacturers as well as users to put safeguards in place. I don't think that what I've heard about the changes to Sentry Mode count as adequate safeguards. I mean, having the headlights flash, I mean, what does that even mean? And now you've just created another social nuisance. It's going to keep people awake at night. The next thing, they'll be having the horn beep and the car alarm go off. No, this is just typical corporate externality and handing over of responsibility away from themselves. When you make things like this, you become involved in the social responsibility for the effects of things and what they're used for, just as a gun manufacturer or a manufacturer of drugs and pharmaceuticals.
Ed, what's going on over there? And who is watching us?
Tesla staffed its San Mateo office with mostly young workers in their 20s and early 30s, who brought with them a culture that prized entertaining memes and viral online content. Former staffers described a freewheeling atmosphere in chat rooms with workers exchanging jokes about images they viewed while labelling. According to several ex-employees, some labellers shared screenshots, sometimes marked up using Adobe Photoshop, in private group chats on Mattermost, Tesla's internal messaging system. There, they would attract responses from other workers and managers. Participants would also add their own marked up images, jokes, or emojis to keep the conversation going. Some of the emojis were custom created to reference office inside jokes, several ex-employees said. One former labeler described sharing images as a way to break the monotony. Another described how sharing won admiration from peers. Quote, if you saw something cool that would get a reaction, you post it, right? And then later, on break, people would come up to you and say, oh, I saw that thing you posted, that was funny, said this former labeler. People who got promoted to lead positions shared a lot of these funny items and gained notoriety for being funny. Some of the shared content resembled memes on the internet. There were dogs, interesting cars, and clips of people being recorded by Tesla cameras tripping and falling. There was also some disturbing content, such as someone being dragged into a car, seemingly against their will, said one ex-employee. Video clips of crashes involving Teslas were also sometimes shared in private chats on Mattermost, several former employees said. Those included examples of people driving badly or collisions involving people struck while riding bikes, such as the one with the child, or a motorcycle. Some data labelers would rewind such clips and play them in slow motion. At times, Tesla managers would crack down on inappropriate sharing of images on public Mattermost channels, since they claimed the practice violated company policy. Still, screenshots and memes based on them continue to circulate through private chats on the platform, several ex-employees said. Workers shared them, one-on-one, or in small groups as recently as the middle of last year. One of the perks of working for Tesla as a data labeler in San Mateo was the chance to win a prize, use of a company car for a day or two, according to two former employees. But some of the lucky winners became paranoid when driving the electric cars. Quote, "Knowing how much data these vehicles are capable of collecting definitely made folks nervous," one ex-employee said. Well, I kind of already knew that Tesla was more of a data company than a car company, but I think after reading this article, I'm definitely never going to look at a Tesla the same way again. What do you think? Is this an extreme breach of privacy laws? Do you reckon users that agree to the data being collected are fully aware of the amount of data that is being collected, such as the inside of their home or their children? Should we just accept this as one of the side effects of electric vehicles? And how will governments ensure, as the adoption of electric vehicles increases, that national security and privacy of those who use them is protected?
So before we move on and discuss the Tesla story, I want to interject really quickly because there's another tech giant actually that have been found guilty of exactly the same sort of camera-based privacy violations that the Tesla story showed us. And they dropped within a few days of one another, which was really surprising because these stories are coming out and people are still engaging in the products. And I don't think that we're talking about them enough, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Let's dig into the Amazon right now. So back at the beginning of the month, The Guardian posted a rather chilling headline that states that Amazon's Ring doorbell was used to spy on customers, according to the FTC, in a privacy case in which they were found liable for privacy violations and settled on £5.8 million in court. If you haven't seen a Ring doorbell, I frankly think that you're probably quite lucky. They are cameras that live on the outside of people's homes, purportedly for their own safety, but I think this article may question or leave us to question whether you are safer with one or whether you're safer without one. I mean, who's more frightening? A burglar stealing your things? Or a man watching you for 3 months in your bedroom and bathroom? Because this is that story, right? And it scares me so much. So the settlement was for a case back in 2017, and the actual settlement itself speaks mostly about a single employee, but I'd like to take it back to a further point in the article where this story actually originates, and that is that a whistleblower came forward and reported that 81 women were watched via a Ring doorbell camera in their bedrooms and bathrooms by a group of employees at the Ring doorbell company.
I'll respond to that now if I may, Helen. Look, what I'd like to say, Helen, is that you saying you're scared by all of this is all a bit alarmist and shrill. These are just teething problems with immensely useful technologies. Once these problems are ironed out, consumers will be able to enjoy the convenience of Tesla cars and Ring doorbells in complete safety. I'd like to be able to say that, but I can't, because I'd be a complete and utter liar and derelict in my capacity as a computer scientist to speak the basic truth. Yes, you absolutely should be scared. This technology is appalling, it's awful, and we haven't even scratched the surface of all the ways that it's harmful. But that's how these corporations, and probably helped by the mainstream media, are going to respond to these stories as more emerge. It's just a glitch, an anomaly, a temporary bug in the system. We've thoroughly investigated it, and it can't happen again. In this case, the attackers were unusually skilled. The vulnerability was one in a million. Be assured that we take your privacy very seriously, and yada, 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 yada. These, quote, people literally have no conscience because they are AI template-driven PR deflection machines. They're programmed to be resiliently cynical and to say whatever is necessary, but perfectly unfalsifiable, to keep you hooked on their rubbish. The only genuinely avoidable error in all of this is when the public believe this nonsense and continue buying. I think we're reaching a crisis point, hopefully an information tipping point at least, And thank goodness, this is surfacing before the effects of AI have really started to add to the impact. For our less technical readers, the issue is called IoT, which stands for Internet of Things. That's a fluffy marketing term like cloud computing. Real engineers talk about embedded systems, and I've been building and programming embedded systems since the mid-1980s, using Z80 processors and microcontrollers. Today, even a light bulb can contain a fully-fledged computer with its own operating system. But for many reasons, due to complexity, time to market, illegibility of components, these things are intractable and irredeemably insecure. IoT always makes me think of the Darwin Awards. You know, when people strap rockets to their boots and jump straight into the side of a mountain 10 miles away. Rocket boots are from comic books. Grown adults don't try that sort of thing. IoT is similar. It's science fiction that's fallen out of a comic book into reality. The quest to put a computer into absolutely everything is patently infantile. Even Philip K. Dick, an ingenious sci-fi writer who anticipated many complex social effects of technology, mocked the idea mercilessly. We have IoT because the technology sector overproduces. It's locked into a growth-death race in which many of the semiconductor makers will go bust if they can't keep finding things to stuff their products into. That's the real story here. The fact that perverts find a way to hack into your Alexa and watch you in the shower is just a sideshow. In many ways, the perverts are actually a convenient scapegoat and distraction. They stop people asking the more important question. How on earth is anybody allowed to sell such substandard rubbish? And why the hell are you buying it?
Not the first time that Amazon have had an issue with similar technology. When we look back to 2018, there was a similar case by Alexa, and it was found guilty of violating the privacy of children, very similar to the Tesla story. The Alexa unit was found that it wasn't deleting the audio clips from children on request of the parents that it had stated it would do so. It was also found guilty of retaining the voice recordings and location data of children far beyond a reasonable time period, which puts all of their security and their privacy at risk for the longer those are on a system and for the whole time, frankly, they exist. This relates to a settlement that Amazon has recently paid out, a total of £5.8 million. And when we get into how this happened and what it is, it gets pretty terrifying. So the beginning of this, and when the first alarm was raised for the settlement, an employee had noticed a group of employees watching Ring videos from people's homes, and they watched at least 81 female customers. This was undetected by Ring, and a continued attack from one employee went on for months back in 2017. And it's that particular case that the settlement relates to. That particular employee was spying on women and their bedrooms and their bathrooms via camera units on neighboring properties. In total, Amazon have been fined now £30.8 million. Sounds like a lot of money, but when we compare that to Amazon's first quarter profit of £3.2 billion, it definitely feels that that is a drop in the ocean and a slap on the wrist. They must have been aware of the problems and the risks associated. They have promised the FTC that they will make changes, that they are going to, you know, sort things out. They've made pledges. Has that been going on? The FTC go on to state some pretty damning further information about the Ring doorbells, that Ring gave employees unrestricted access to customer-sensitive video data. It stated that as a result of this dangerously overboard access and lax attitude towards privacy and security, employees and third-party contractors were able to view, download, and transfer customer-sensitive video data for their own purposes. Let's just break that down a minute. Employees had unrestricted access to sensitive video data. that access was given to not just the employees at Ring, but also third-party contractors. And they weren't just able to view it at work in a meeting or a legitimate reason to view some of those images and some of those video for, you know, improvement and training purposes. They were also able to download those and transfer customers' sensitive data. And when they say things like that, what they mean is share. People were able to go to work or access it as a third-party contract, take it home with them, upload it wherever they like, dark web, wherever, for any old weirdo to watch. And then we removed the 81 plus one women, plus all the months worth of women that they clearly looked at. We start to realise that this practice may have actually affected far more of the world than we anticipated. It may be something that affects not just women, it might be something that affects us all and our children. In fact, if you look outside your door or your window right now, even in your office block, I reckon that you can probably see a Ring doorbell. Because they were sold to us. Because they were considered they could keep us safe. But when we look at this story and this settlement, I don't feel very safe. I don't feel safe when I come out of my front door and I see 25 prying eyes looking back at me and I realise that I don't know who's actually on the other end, how many people are on the other end, where that may be shared, who may watch it, who may download it, where that may go. And when I think about my children and my family and other people's children coming in and out of their homes, I really get worried and I really get concerned. And it goes straight back to the Tesla story where we're looking at worldwide violations by big tech companies using cameras that we've been sold and told are there to keep us safe, yet they're violated by the very employees that we trust to keep us safe. I'm outraged. I'm absolutely outraged by both of these stories. And they're not the only stories. And we're going to go on to discuss some more funny, maybe, some stories. A little less doom. And I know this episode is like number 10 on the doom scale, but there's no way to ignore this. We generally have to discuss it, right?
I think that everybody should read Viktor Frankl. Or if you prefer French, watch Claude Lanzmann's documentary on the Holocaust. As Frankl describes the Shoah, there was something so terrible in the camps that the survivors were mostly too traumatised and ashamed to ever talk about it. It was that many of the camps were not run by the Nazis, not by the SS. They were sick of it and getting drunk in the officers' quarters. It was the capos. That's what they called them, the collaborators. Many people went to their deaths, herded into the showers by their fellow prisoners. The capos were offered the privilege of a little extra food and maybe the chance of living a few more weeks than those whom they supervised. Similarly, in the 1980s, the Stasi of the German Democratic Republic didn't have the power to run an oppressive police state. Not alone. They relied on the fact that one in every three people was an informant. You see the pattern here? If you don't think that a corporation can be unashamedly fascist, yet still tolerated within a liberal democracy, then I urge you to read Edwin Black's IBM and the Holocaust. Fascists are not content to create a for-profit surveillance state. They want its victims to build, maintain, and pay for it. Neighbours who install camera doorbells are not good neighbours. They may be deluded that they are helping, making the neighbourhood safer. But pause for a moment and you'll see that they show no respect for their community. Their vision of the greater good doesn't include crusty jugglers. Hence, I think the desirability of a dwelling and property prices should be proportional to the number of houses in a street that do not have a camera, doorbell and CCTVs. If you're looking to buy a house, when you go to see it, check out the neighbourhood. If you see a lot of neighbours whose houses look like technological fortresses with cameras and lights stuck onto every wall, that's probably a high-fear neighbourhood and evidently a high-crime neighbourhood. People's fear is easily exploited and manipulated, and that fear is dangerous because it means that they can be turned against their neighbours, whether that's in the GDR or in the camps that Frankl spoke of, or in your street. And the trampling of your privacy is just the price of the greater good.
It's all about the greater good.
The greater good.
There in Amazon and how angry and...
Yeah, I saw that.
Women on the Toilet, that was actually written by someone at the MIT somewhere.
Let me just recap the Tesla thing. They were watching all the videos, yeah, of people, like, dying in their cars.
Yeah, so crash footage, but also, like, children. It's not just that they were watching them, because that's part of their job, but it was the fact that they're sharing it around in, like, private chat rooms in a humorous way.
Yeah, and the people over at Amazon are just taking it fucking home for a wank later.
The number of people that should be able to look at that should be, like, vanishingly small, should be kind of like 4 or 5 people tops.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and all have to sign release forms, and, like, it doesn't make any sense. They're like, yeah, you can take all that shit home, go for it.
There's just no restrictions on...
Have they CRB checked any of those people? Are any of them paedophiles? Do you know that for sure?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Because it's supposed to be access controlled, but there's just no evidence of that being sort of a sufficient way of access control. I'm just going to bring the original article back up again and find that part of it.
It's a kind of minimum wage gig anyway, right? I mean, those guys run like $13 an hour or something, yeah?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, they actually outsourced all of the sort of the reviewing of footage to third parties as well, so that just... They revoked the contract in the end because it was a complete disaster, but anyone could have told them it was before it happened.
Were they able to just view it, or did it specifically say in the lawsuit that they could download and take it home with them?
I'm just...
Ring, they could just do whatever the fuck they... Like, there was no tracking on it on any of the data whatsoever. They didn't even know it even happened.
So it says here, it says at one point, Tesla's on autopilot, blah, 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 blah. Some data labelers were asked to identify objects in videos recorded inside garages. The problem was eventually solved. And then it says in interviews, two former employees said in their normal work duties, they were sometimes asked to view images of customers in and around their homes, including inside garages. And then it says up here, let me get that comment about third-party contract, because they had access to all this same stuff. Yeah, so in 2016, Samasource was providing about 400 workers there for Tesla, up from about initial 20, according to a person familiar with the matter. By 2019, however, Tesla was no longer satisfied with the work of those data labelers. And then a senior director of AI at Tesla said, unfortunately, we found very quickly that working with a third party to get access to data sets for something this critical was just not going to cut it. Honestly, the quality was not amazing.
Well, the quality of the feedback provided by the labelers.
Yeah, so it's, so in 2019, they basically terminated that contract with the third party labelers. And they said at, what's his name, Andrej, who's a senior director of AI at Tesla, he was the one who said that essentially working with the third party to get data sets was not going to cut it and basically didn't meet the quality of Tesla's standards.
Look, I think there's something going on here that we just need to differentiate and get to the bottom of pretty quick. These Tesla cars, like, as you said, Ed, like, they're not a car manufacturing company, they're a data company, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The cameras all over these cars have absolutely the square root of twat all to do with their function as driving. They just happen to be mobile telemetry devices that they've taken the liberty of sticking loads of cameras all over and then making some vague hand-waving allusions to security or whatever. It's an accessory. It's not an essential function. There's no essential function of having these cameras inside the cars or on the outside of the car looking in. You know, people are beginning to misunderstand. They're starting to think that somehow that the car these self-driving cars need the cameras on them to drive. They don't. I mean, for a start, they use LiDAR, right?
Yeah, so there's on Tesla's website, there is actually a about autopilot system, and there's a diagram. It tells you exactly where every single camera and sensor is. So it uses, as you say, it's ultrasonic sensors at the front and rear bumpers.
It just uses the cameras as a gimmick, though, doesn't it? Because when I was driving Tesla, you use your card, you wave it at a camera. I think you can set it up so that if you wave your hand, it will know it's your motion. All sorts of weird stuff, I think, with the card in it, all sorts of weird stuff. But it seems more like a gimmick than it's a necessity for the cars. You know?
Yeah, so what they're actually using the cameras for, and I think they have said this, is essentially training their autopilot system to look out for certain objects around the area. And
they're having one that you wave your key in front of. It's like right on the side, like you can't see anything from there. Maybe like a cyclist helmet or a truck passing very close to you.
Yeah, so they've got a...
I don't need for that. So they have...
Don't need it. This is a key point. They don't need it, Helen. They don't need it.
They don't need any of it, but they can't even make an excuse to say, oh, well, it helps with this thing and it helps with the balance. It's like, this is just the way the key at.
Most of those cars are not self-driving anyway. I mean, they're not even legal in the UK at the moment, are they?
So the functionality of self-driving is fully available.
Yeah, illegal. That's the question. Are they not? They're not legal to have a self-driving Tesla car in the UK at the moment.
So a driver has to be in the driver's seat in order to use the autopilot, and you have to touch the wheel every minute or something, so the car doesn't think you're asleep.
It's essentially a bullshit technology at the moment.
Yeah,
and it's a wannabe technology, right? Yeah. And they believe that they're going to get there by training AIs based on the stuff that they get from these cameras. But the cameras are not essential to the function. There is a real deceit going on here, a real sleight of hand, right? That people are being led to believe that the camera is a necessary function of the technical function of the vehicle, and they're not. They're a data grab that Tesla have put on as a tag on at the end to train their system. So while that they're driving them around, they're just scooping up data. They're not actually a core part of the technology that does collision avoidance and so on. They're just part of kind of an ongoing research project that we need to make it really clear, and that's what's going on.
I'm just going to list all of the amount of cameras that are on it, just so, because some people might not actually know how many that are on it. But so that, to start with, there's a camera mounted above the rear license plate. There's the ultrasonic sensors, which are on the front and rear bumpers. There's a camera mounted in each door pillar, so that's five doors if you include the boot. There's three cameras mounted to the windshield above the rearview mirror. There's a camera mounted to each front fender, and radar is mounted behind the front bumper as well. And there's also electronic assisting braking and steering systems, which use all of those sensors. So that's sort of the map they've given, which is a lot. I think that equates to about 19 or so.
19 cameras.
Cameras.
None of which are necessary. It's a massive mobile Cheltenham, Goonhilly down.
Yeah, so they just market a data mining operation as this really cool tech, and it does this cool thing. Look at the door, man. Look at this fun CEO. Isn't he mad? Yeah. Buy our cameras now. Like, they're on it.
Here's the inside of my garage.
Yeah.
I don't see how it's even precariously legal. I don't see... I just can't see any scope for the legality of it. Why are these things not just being rounded up and crushed?
Well, yeah, the thing is, though, that when it actually comes to safety, in February 2021, I think, Tesla recalled about 360,000 Teslas just to update their full self-driving software, because the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration said it could allow vehicles to exceed speed limits and cause crashes. Mm-hmm. So even in terms of safety, they're not, despite all of the amount of cameras and stuff they're planning for data production and collection, they're just not even considering basic safety in some. They just kind of misses the whole, they're like, oh yeah, and let's add a little bit of safety and usability on as well.
Yeah. They did have one really good function, though, and that is that they did begin to make electric cars and environmentalism to petrol heads like the most stubborn. And I think that's a legacy. I guess that's why people were like, oh, we don't like that, but we're going to be quiet because this is something that maybe we've been needing and something that we've...
Yeah, but I get you, but that's really inappropriate. Yeah, you don't get a hall pass to be extremely badly behaved because of like one good thing they wanted once.
I know.
It doesn't work like that.
No, it's like, what the good intention there was, let's make a green car, and then the road to hell was all the added shit they don't need. Like,
their intention was to make a huge pile of money.
Yeah. And then someone went, hey, let's just add one more camera. That's a lot more minions. And they went, okay, yeah, 19 now. Like, you know, but they've been seduced by money, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's, right, so Ring is like the opposite of that, though. And they were behaving even more appallingly, I guess, because you're buying a camera, and you're buying a camera because you think it's going to keep you safe, but this thing's been, like, filming your neighbour while they're in the shitter.
You can't sneeze in the about 30-metre radius without being recorded.
Or apparently walk outside your front door, either.
You can't walk past someone. It lights up at night. I remember walking home from the train station last week, and walking down the road just before mine, and as I was walking down the road, literally getting lit up as I was walking past every single house by these cameras all coming on as I walked down the road.
If you live opposite those, and you, I don't know, you're not very good at closing your curtains in England, yeah, then there's a potential that you've been watched. And I think when you speak to people, they just think, there's almost like, oh, are people in Teslas have cameras they don't like? Oh, well, they bought them, is the attitude. But you don't necessarily have had to have bought a Ring doorbell or engaged in Amazon or Ring doorbell or any of those products, and yet you can still be victim. And I think that people find snuck in, didn't it? Like, people don't seem to know that that is the thing.
Well, that's what we're here for. It's our job to explain it to them. I mean, that is the entire corporate shtick in the 21st century. It's all about externalities. The people who don't know, the people who didn't purchase, the people who are just side effects and collateral damage, they're where you extract the value from. Yeah, so the people who bought the thing, they're just merely being conned. People who are their neighbours and pedestrians and everybody else who's caught up in the actual harm caused by that shit show, they get the much worse deal.
What I was sort of thinking is they seem to put all this bullshit out about, you know, customer privacy notices and things like that. But in the example of Tesla's, it says online on its own customer privacy notice that its camera recordings remain anonymous and aren't linked to vehicles. But then seven former employees told the news agency interviewing them that they could literally see the location of the recordings with the GPS coordinates. So how is that anonymous?
Nothing.
It doesn't take a genius to work it out.
Nothing that comes out the mouths of corporations has even a grain of truth in it. It's just pathological lying.
And they often don't know. So, like, again, you know, with the Amazon case as well, they didn't know that the employee had been watching it for months, and they likely still don't know how many third-party contractors took it home.
Helen.
There were no logs.
Who didn't know? Who didn't know? Can we?
Ring doorbell were unaware of this happening.
No, I don't accept. I don't accept that. I don't accept that as a standard for knowledge.
Right, but then they gave access to third parties. They gave access to anyone who'd ever worked at Ring. They didn't take any logs. They weren't aware of what they were doing with it, and they could just download it from the system and essentially take it home.
Look, the parameters that they set up were tantamount to knowledge of that happening.
Right.
So there was actually a court case in the UK in October 2021, and the court actually ruled that the Ring video doorbell invaded the neighbour's privacy, and that was in Oxfordshire in the UK.
And if you look at cities like London and you look at some of the terraced homes and you see the doors that all face onto one another in really small areas, you're being recorded, and not just video, but also sound. Yeah. And those are owned by apparently anyone who wants to have a look at it, and also the person whose home it is. And you don't know what those people are going to be doing with that data.
Well, I do.
They can peer into those bedrooms and bathrooms.
I had somebody talk to me at great length about, they had got into a kind of dispute with a really antisocial neighbour, and they'd both kind of got into that arms race of putting up camera doorbells to film each other, and that weaponization turns the whole thing extremely ugly very, very quickly. They were all constantly monitoring what each other was saying, looking for each other's children and their behaviours, trying trying to find reasons to call the police. And so in the end, the police were absolutely furious. They hated it because they suddenly had two vexatious litigants phoning them up every 20 minutes going, yeah, you never guess what they've done now. Oh, well, she's gone and parked her car here. Yeah, and so, you know, they would escalate to them having an ASBO order. And, how much work is that making for the police? You know, and it's being facilitated by this technological warfare.
It's meant to be keeping them safe because that's how it's branded. Oh, if you get this, it will keep you safe. Well, actually, is it making you safe or is it making you more unsafe? I've lived in my home for years before Ring doorbell sort of took over our street, and I'd never had a burglary attempt. And now I'm the only house out of, I think there's about three of us, who don't have one. And I did hear someone try and break in the middle of the night. They were unsuccessful because I know my stuff. And I woke up because I'm trained. I don't rely on an app to wake me up, right? But I feel that I'm unsafe as a result of other people believing that they were unsafe when they were safe.
We need to get into this really deep in another discussion, because the psychology of CCTV cameras is completely broken. They make things worse in almost every regard.
There is just one thing I wanted to pull out from Ring Doorbell's actual website, which contradicts itself on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, there's a question that says, how secure are my recordings? And it basically goes on to say that they use AES encryption with TLS, standard real-time protocols, blah, blah, blah.
And we let the thing at home.
If you scroll down, it says, does Ring share video recordings with law enforcement agencies? And then it says, unless necessary to comply with the law or if there is an emergency at risk of death or serious physical injury to a person, then we will not, blah, blah, blah. So they can obviously see the videos despite stating that they're encrypted because they can share them. So they're not encrypted for all intents and purposes, are they? Because they can access them.
He's judging that. He's going, oh, I've decided this is a crime, so I'm going to report this one, but I'm not going to report this guy because he's my neighbour and he's a dick. So I'm not going to report him. Because I feel like that shouldn't be like a person's decision, but now we're relying on crimes to be reported by a private company. It's just, you know, letting the cleaner take all the stuff home and share it on the dark web anyway. That's not law and order. That's not keeping anyone safe. That's making a more unsafe world for everyone.
Yeah.
That's for kind of common or garden vigilantism.
Pretty much, yeah.
So what was going on with Roombas?
Roomba.
Poop. Roomba. Yeah.
I know it's a bit more sort of comical.
Didn't it just spread shit all around the room or something? It kind of, the one that I heard is it someone went off on holiday and left it, and then the dog like dumped in the middle of the floor, and then the Roomba tried to clean it up, and when they came back, basically it had smeared like dog crap around the entire house.
And it fucking filmed itself doing it, because I think that's another story, right? It's got a camera on it. It's been filming people shit. Yeah,
there's a couple of images on this on technologyreview.com. I'm just looking at them now. There's some poor person sat on a toilet, and they've been published on this article. Their face has obviously been blurred for dignity.
Didn't blur their arse though, did they? I reckon if you reverse image search it, you'll find her face.
Probably.
You have to kind of search on their poo face. It's a slightly different shape, different skin colour, you know.
They're horrible. They're sucking. I didn't even know they had cameras.
Yeah, obviously, of course they've got cameras. They're just a useless IoT technology. They're going to shove as many cameras in as they can.
I thought it just hoofed it up, man. They're just like, you know, like those fucking shit robots they get. I don't know if you remember it, but we had really shit robots that we had to play with in school.
Oh, yeah, those, you know, that you pre-program them to go so many metres forward and left. And
you're like four steps forward and it just goes beep, 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 beep.
Oh, yeah, this is just a... You would think that it just needs a sensor so it doesn't bounce into the wall, and that's all it needs.
Been around since the 80s, those toys. I thought it was that, but with a
sucking motion. That's a turtle. It is, basically. It is that.
Yeah, it's
that's what it is. But with a fucking evil little camera on it, sending all your poop videos to Facebook. Like,
well again, that thing's unnecessary. It's a complete accessory that's just stuck on there. I mean, I'm fortunate enough to know a little bit about robots. I've built a few, and I've been involved in some designs for the bomb disposal robots, things like that, right? Yeah. mostly sort of tracked vehicles. But when you come down to robotics, visuals are pretty much useless for the machine processing. They use a whole bunch of other stuff, you know, infrared, ultrasonics, radar, LiDAR, touch sensors, capacitive sensors. There's two dozen different things that robots can use for mapping out their territory and navigating it and doing collision avoidance and stuff. And cameras are right down the bottom of that list, because visual processing is pretty much useless depending on the light, the changing lighting conditions, the vibrations, strange camera angles. The only reason that they have for putting the cameras on those things is to collect data from inside people's houses.
Well, yeah, it's exactly the same situation as we were talking about with Teslas, isn't it? They've got all the right sensors. They don't need the cameras.
It doesn't need the camera.
Do it for as long. Like, it's, if it's not hoovering up, why is it even filming? Like, what's their fucking excuse for that? They just make excuses up. It's like, it's returning home. It's still fucking, the eyes are watching you. Mm. You know, it's ridiculous.
Maybe it's to prove that it cleaned up, you know. It's like a before and after picture of the carpet and say, look what a good job I did, yeah.
See, in my head, it's like there's Terminators facing that box. I'm seeing those horrible little red eyes like, I'm watching you. All the time. So when I ever see stuff like that, I'm like, is that got a camera in it?
Well, look, one of the things that maybe we should be thinking about, rather than merely discussing this, is to help people with countermeasures, help them understand how to disable these things, because, and also let's find out what happens when you do. So what happens if when you tape over the camera, or you, if you've got a neighbour with a Ring doorbell looking at you, you know, you just pop an infrared laser on that for a few hours and that's the end of that. So there's all sorts of actions that you can take against these objects as countermeasures, and that may be the way we have to go.
Back to the headline of podcast causes wave of Ring doorbell destructions, and we just need to be more aware. We need to be aware that there could be cameras everywhere. If you want to scare yourself, I was looking for hidden cameras, and then I'm like, do you remember, I'm saying to my partner, like, do you remember when we stayed in Airbnb and I went round and looked at certain devices and started going, fucking not seeing this tonight, bitch, and he thought it was fucking nuts. It turns out I'm not. Look at this alarm clock with a fucking camera in it. Look at this plug socket and this plant pot. This is just for sale on eBay. Go for it. Just $8.99. It's all yours.
There was actually a video of bathroom sort of lights with the plastic see-through covers.
Yeah.
That's slightly cover. Translucent.
Right.
There was one in a hotel bathroom, and you know the normal like Edison screw bulbs that you get.
Mm-hmm.
Someone had screwed in this 4K surveillance camera on like a 360 swivel into one of the screw bulb fittings, and they literally took the cover off, and it was filming like the entire room in 4K.
Those students that I kind of wrote project proposals for, and a whole load of them were for countermeasures and for counter surveillance stuff, and a couple of them turned up and they said, oh, there's actually some decent phone apps you can get that do sort of spectrum analysis, looking for digital signatures from covert cameras and things like that. And it's not that expensive, you know, to buy specialised hardware to do it. I mean, you can get little sort of bug sweeping things and camera sweeping things now. There's a whole lot of different techniques. So I think it'd be kind of interesting, you know, for going like camera hunting. And then the interesting question becomes, like, what can you do when you discover some? How can you really fuck with the people that put them there, right?
You fucking nick the SD cards, man, in the camera.
I'm thinking of much worse things than that.
You
can set them. You could set them up, couldn't you? I mean, you could set them up, right? You could stage some kind of, don't let on that you know that there's a camera there, but you know that they're looking at it. But then, do you see where I'm going with this?
You can pretend that you're like fucking killing someone and eating their corpse or some weird shit, or you're a cult.
You're on the right track. The right track.
Yeah, you just point like a really strong infrared laser at it and just destroy the lens or something.
Well, that's the way to take it out. If you've got to take it out, you can do that. But the fun comes with when you know there's a camera there, but they don't know that you know.
But I've been doing that a little bit on my own. So we were staying in Airbnbs, and I'm paranoid, and I'm like, right, I'm fucking finding him. And I found some dodgy shit, right? And I'm like, why is there this hole in the shower right by this crack that feels very round? Then you shine your light in there, and you're like, oh, hello, Mr. Lens. How you doing? So, like, I just shit him up. I just do weird shit.
Wait, hold on. So this has happened that at Airbnbs where you've been, and you've spotted them. But you know that they're illegal, right, to put them in there?
Yeah, it's great. It's fucking great. That's why I'm like, yeah, steal the SD cards. Because they might, I don't know, it's fun. They'll be annoyed, won't they?
I think you're missing a few tricks there. I think you could really mess with them.
It's just me. It's just, well, we can as a group. But when it's just me, I'm like, oh, hello, like six men.
I think some of those cameras could be potential fire hazards, right?
Well, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no, it's blown up. That's strange. I've just overloaded the circuit.
How odd. The lithium battery seems to have shorted and it's set fire to the room I was in. Lucky to get out alive.
Can't we do some special effects on this shit? Can we not, like, stay in a place? Take, like, a full 24 hours fucking view of it. Overloop their shit with some, like, mad CCTV.
Yeah, you're getting the right idea. But you'd have to do some really good recon.
Now you're getting with it.
Yeah, we'll do some recon, find out which ones have actually got cameras and just don't let them know that we know.
You'd need to let them know.
And then we'll come back.
Find the premises where you know for definite that they're there. Then get someone that unconnected to go and book another thing, and then we'll get the crew ready to go in.
Just a little bit of smoke, no real fire.
I'm just thinking about this Airbnb thing still, right? I mean, isn't it good that that's happening? Because the whole Airbnb thing's a stinking, rotten, capitalist trip that ruins people's neighbourhoods anyway. So isn't the fact that you can't trust premises and that you'd be an absolute fool to go into privately rented accommodation like that a kind of a good thing?
No one is £400 a night to stay in London for a fucking gig. Like, that's the problem. It's the only time I use it, but I dress like I'm at a festival and everyone's watching.
But, I mean, the one trick, I guess, for the initial detection is obviously many hidden cameras rely on infrared technology, sensors, etc., which are invisible to human eyes, but turn the lights off and have a little scan round, and that will normally pick up most of the sensors.
It makes me paranoid, though.
Well, it does, and it should, and I think that's a necessary and good thing, because if you going into a premises like that you can't trust, and that the owner has set it up as a trap, I mean, what else other than cameras might they have set up as a trap?
Exactly, yeah.
You know, I mean, what are they...
They want people to feel relaxed in there and do the things that they want them to... Yeah, exactly.
This happens quite a lot, where people have to get out in a rush and they've left bits in the property and they obviously don't give them back. And they've obviously getting phones all the time just left there or abandoned there. So they've invested money in technology because it's getting them back more than the cost of that technology.
Yeah.
And it's worth keeping those spaces for their mom because they're getting something from the camera feed and from bits of property like mobile phones and computers that are being left. What if you leave your laptop with your sensitive work documents on it?
Well, you're an idiot. You shouldn't have taken it there.
How many fuckers do that?
Especially if it's not encrypted.
Hotel rooms have always been a kind of nexus of craft and
they've got skullduggery. A sort of history, haven't they? Of just
hence just... Evil Maid Attack, you know, it's the eponymous name. That's the name, you know. You leave your tech in a hotel room, then shame on you.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. And there was that video that came out last year of the young girl that was in a hotel room. She's a student. She's gone somewhere to study, and she's suddenly seen a fiber optic camera under the door compartment. Obviously, he didn't think she was in because she's studying quietly, not making any sound. Yeah. So he's going to see if she's in. It looks like a snake. She's freaking out. It's like, well, no, he's just checking to see if you're in. And if you're not, it's got a fucking key that's got one encryption code on it because your hotel's shit. And he's just going into every room it's empty and he's looking to see what he can get because people do just leave their tech. But that risks so much more than just, you know, your tech. Like, if people are leaving those things, we don't know what those people might find or what they, you know, if we look at stories like Mally McCann going missing, people might have stepped out of the room and left their child in there. And they might think, well, I didn't find any phones today, but I did find a kid. Maybe I can set other, and you start to go down this dark path because you're inviting more crime into these spaces because you're leaving more of your tech and more value around, and people are thinking it's worth it.
Totally. I mean, I was always very suspicious of the circumstances surrounding the woman who was abducted by the police officer.
Sarah Everard, right?
You know, when you have access to technical privilege, when you can get the CCTV feeds, when you can run a license plate on somebody, you've got a huge amount of power, and that power is being increased and devolved at a terrifying rate, so that some random petty council official can get that access, and you are at some point going to suck into that net of privilege. Paedophiles, murderers, rapists, all kinds of, you know...
That's the thing, isn't it? It leaves people in that intrinsically vulnerable position just by walking into a hotel room.
The technology is not a power that can be contained. And the idea that you can contain it is an absolute folly.
Yeah, yeah.
You're listening to The Cyber Show on www.cybershow.uk.
Thank you.